Gar and I, as you know, as we sit here together and talk about this, we understand accountability, and we are accountable for what this team did this year. We don't run away from it. We accept it. That's on us.
Locked On Bulls, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, a show for the most passionate fan base in the NBA, your number one source for Chicago Bulls news and stories.
For me to be here in the NBA organization, such a historic organization, the Chicago Bulls, so it's just a dream come true for me.
Live on Dash Radio every Tuesday, Thursday, and Saturday.
This is going to be a process. You'll snap your fingers and it all happens at once, but that's the plan moving forward.
So kick back, relax, and get ready for the best hour of your day. Locked On Bulls starts now. Here are your hosts, Jordan Malley and Matt Peck.
What's up and welcome into Locked On Bulls, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. We're live on Dash Radio, dashradio.com, and the Dash Radio app. On the Nothing But Net channel, we're live on Dash Radio every Tuesday, Thursday, and Saturday, 10 a.m. Eastern, 9 a.m. Central Time. I'm your host, Jordan Malley, writer of Bulls basketball and the NBA at FanRag Sports and College Hoops over at SB Nation. Along with me is Matt Peck, writer of Bulls basketball and the NBA at FanRag Sports, and host of the 312 show on AM 1590 WCGO in Chicago. Follow us on social media, on Twitter, at Jordan C. Malley, at Bulls underscore Peck, and at Locked On Bulls. Like us on Facebook, facebook.com/LockedOnShyBulls, and subscribe to the show on iTunes, Android, Stitcher, Google Play, Spotify, and anywhere you find podcasts, you will find us. Make sure you're following the Locked On Podcast Network on Facebook and Twitter as well. 331-979-1369 is your line to text and call us. Voicemails, text messages, any of your questions, you want reaction, you want to give us anything that you guys are thinking about, reactionary towards the draft, maybe the prospects, anything that you have for us, hit us up on social media or at 331-979-1369. Matt, what's going on? We have an announcement for our listeners out there to start off the show. I'm going to let you kick this off.
What's going on, Jordan? Bulls Nation, happy almost Friday. I'm headed to the Cubs game at Wrigley later today, so no better way to start the weekend early than that. So this awesome giveaway we have coming up, we always enjoy doing these for our listeners because we appreciate you guys. We were talking a little bit about Dennis Rodman on yesterday's show and the great article that Chris Ballard of Sports Illustrated wrote about him and Draymond being the modern era's Dennis Rodman and even like getting into some of the crazy North Korea stuff that's going on with Rodman's life now. And of course, I got a little sentimental, a little nostalgic, because as I have told you on this podcast at least more than once, outside of MJ, Dennis is my second favorite NBA player of all time. I loved the guy for all of the weird things that he represented off the court, and all of the people who thought that he was bad for the game and a head case and all this. I love the guy. I love the fact that he was a defense first, team first player throughout, multi-year all defensive team player, led the league in rebounding for 8 consecutive seasons. Nobody had ever done that. I just love the guy. So I was like, you know what? We haven't done a giveaway in a minute. Let's see what Amazon has in the line of awesome Dennis Rodman stuff. And I came across a pretty awesome autographed Dennis Rodman picture. It caught my eye just because he's making an amazing leaping rebound in the red Bulls road jerseys, and the red really popped. And then I look closer and I'm like, oh, Scottie Pippen's in the background. That's cool. And then I'm like, wait a minute. Magic Johnson is in the background. Magic Johnson. And this is the 95-96 Bulls season. And then I realized that was Magic Johnson's last NBA season. That was Magic Johnson's farewell tour after he missed 4 seasons when he learned that he had HIV. So I was like, what are the odds where you got a Dennis Rodman in a Bulls jersey playing against Magic Johnson? How many times did that happen? Turns out this photo was taken in the one and only instance where Dennis Rodman played against Magic Johnson with Dennis Rodman in a Bulls jersey. It came in February of 1996 in a 99-84 Bulls win. Dennis Rodman in this photo is pulling down one of 23 rebounds he had in that game. And that was the last time Magic Johnson played against the Bulls in his NBA career. The only time that he and Rodman faced off as a member of the Bulls and the Lakers. Because, Rodman and Johnson had some great rivalries and some epic battles in the NBA Finals when Rodman was on the Pistons back-to-back in 88-89. Those guys were going at each other in the NBA Finals. But this photo was taken in the only game where Magic Johnson and his farewell NBA tour played against Rodman as a member of the Bulls. Awesome piece of NBA history. It's autographed by the Worm. We're going to give it away to one of you.
So all you have to do, simple, leave us an iTunes review. Go to iTunes or your favorite podcast platform. Don't want to discriminate against anybody who might use Spotify or Stitcher or Google Play. Anywhere that you go, iTunes is the preferable one, though. If you can make it to iTunes and give us a review there, we would appreciate it so much. So what we want you to do is go there, leave us an iTunes review, 5-star review. Write us a review and also leave us your favorite moment or favorite thing about Dennis Rodman and what might have made you consider him one of the best Bulls of all time. I want you to leave that there for us in the comments. All you have to do is screenshot that review. You can text us at 331-979-1369 with that photo, or you can email it to us at lockedonbulls@gmail.com. Our text line does receive pictures, so if you're somebody who doesn't want to mess around with the email and having to attach the picture, it's simple. Just take the screenshot, send it to 331-979-1369, attach your name, and it's as simple as that. You'll be awarded into the drawing, and then we'll have a random drawing. And we'll also, too, once we pick all the winners, once we get all of our submissions in, we're going to read some of the best ones on air, too. So just kind of a reminisce about Dennis Rodman as well. But Matt, when you told me about this picture, I didn't even realize it. So this is definitely a special autograph, a special giveaway too, and it's something that I think if you have company over or whoever you're talking with, you can share that story along with them. And to be honest with you, it's a pretty sweet giveaway, and it's something that I don't think we've given away anything from the 90s era Bulls just yet. So
we have not. This is our first Dynasties era giveaway,
so this is pretty sweet. So once again, iTunes review or any podcast platform, screenshot that 5-star review, send it over to us at lockedonbulls@gmail.com or at 331-979-1369. It's as simple as that. All you have to do, takes 30 seconds to make, and then you'll automatically be entered to win the Dennis Rodman autographed photo. So pretty sweet giveaway.
Get those entries in as fast as possible, because, you know, I don't know how long I can convince myself to not just keep this for myself because it is so awesome and I love it. And I don't know, maybe I'll find a duplicate out there somewhere. It's very cool. So yeah, we're excited to give this one away to you guys. And for our younger listeners who don't remember a lot about the 90s era Bulls and Dennis Rodman, do yourself a favor and definitely go read that column by Chris Ballard. And also just do a little research. Go on YouTube and look at some Dennis Rodman highlights. Go look at Dennis Rodman's numbers on Basketball Reference. The guy was just a wonderful treasure to the NBA. And you know, who knows where Dennis is at any given hour of any given day these days. You know, he's also going through a battle with sobriety. He's battled addiction his whole life, and a very fascinating character. But once I started thinking about Dennis yesterday, I couldn't stop, and it led to this awesome giveaway. So there you go.
It's all right, Bulls fans out there that might be in the age range of millennials or even after that. I don't even know what Gen Z is, the generation after millennials. So I'm raising my hand there too. I don't remember Dennis Rodman live in action, and it's one of the most depressing things. But I did go to YouTube and multiple times watched highlight videos, and you just get into a rabbit hole on YouTube. I feel like it's the same thing with Reddit, where you can end up spending 2 hours just watching highlight videos on YouTube. So it's pretty sweet. So yes, definitely, if you were somebody who is a younger generation, don't really remember him playing on TV, you can still leave a memory about Dennis Rodman or what you think made him so special to that Chicago Bulls team in the 90s. So whatever you want to do, leave it for us on an iTunes review and then screenshot it for us. All right, let's get to some NBA stuff. Let's talk about the finals real quick, and then the rest of the show, we're going to talk a little bit about why there's another instance out there why the Bulls might be cheap, and also want to talk quickly about Michael Porter Jr.'s medicals on this show. But let's start with the NBA finals first, Matt. Pretty good game last night. Pretty damn good game last night, especially from that blowout that we got in game two, where a lot of people thought LeBron had kind of given up after they were down 15, 18 points. Hell of a game from Kevin Durant after Steph Curry just had one of the worst games I've seen in a long time. And credit to LeBron James, too, as well. He played fantastic.
Yeah, I mean, it was it's kind of funny that you thought it was kind of a ho-hum game for LeBron, and you looked and you're like, oh yeah, no, he posted another 30-point triple-double. He did seem to kind of disappear a little bit in the fourth quarter, deferring to his teammates, who, you know, credit to LeBron for finding guys open looks, but There were too many instances late in that fourth quarter when the game was absolutely still within reach. There was a time in the middle of the fourth when I thought, all right, this is when the Warriors are going to pull away. And the Warriors just had some pretty bad offensive sequences down the court a few times in a row. And they left the door open for the Cavs and LeBron to take that game. And LeBron kind of deferred. Still a great game from him. You mentioned the pretty atrocious performance from Steph. He did hit that one big clutch three late in the game. And even though it was Durant who had the big one to ice it to put the Warriors up six with under a minute to go, Durant said after the game it was all about that Steph three that he finally hit, who had the confidence to take that shot. Steph was 0 for 9 from downtown before hitting that three late in the game when the Warriors desperately needed that. Steph was 3 for 16, Klay 4 of 11, and Durant absolutely carried them when they absolutely needed him to. He just, especially late in the game, just took over. They said, all right, KD, you take the ball up. KD, you run the offense. KD, you do you. Because really the Cavaliers defensively were just, they don't have an answer for him. And that is, you know, if I am going to knock LeBron for something in this series, as much as he's done to carry the Cavs this far, he has totally shied away from being the guy to try to stop KD. It's just like, I'm sorry, you're the greatest player in the game right now. The other team has the second greatest player in the game, and he is killing you. Why did LeBron not take KD last night? I don't get that. I really, really don't.
That's good. That's a fantastic point to bring up, because I was wondering the same exact thing. Like, time and time again, every time the ball came down and KD had the ball in his hands, it seemed like LeBron and Kevin Love kept switching off of each other.
Yeah,
and
the Warriors were getting switches for Kevin Love or with Kevin Durant with ease. Like, the Cavs weren't even trying.
And for the most part, Kevin Love did all he could, really, to try and stop Kevin Durant. And at times I felt bad for him because he was just getting beat in every single direction. But he did play somewhat of a decent defense against Kevin Durant, the most that you can expect. Kevin Durant went 15 for 23. He was just on fire, shooting from everywhere. 43 points, 13 rebounds, 7 assists. So Kevin Durant with an unbelievable game in this game 3. I'm glad you brought up the defense too. One other thing too, real quick, just to encapsulate this game. I don't know if you were following on social media or not, but the NBA refs and their officials decided to go to their account and live tweet the game about calls that were made and trying to explain things to fans, which take it for what it was. But I thought it was really cool, and the first thing that came to mind was this is a great opportunity not only to teach older people about the new rules of the NBA and what officials are looking for, but also to answer questions about fans who might not understand every single rule, what's going on beyond just what they see on the floor and what's going through the heads of the officials when they're on the floor. I thought it was cool. For the most part, there was some answers that they tried to tiptoe around, which I can understand.
The questionable call between LeBron and Steph, and whether it was a charge or whether it was Steph grabbing LeBron before the charge happened, like that was a good instance of, all right, here's what ref one saw from this angle, and here's what ref two saw from the other angle, and they got together and made, you know, and conferred and made a decision. I thought that was great. I think that the one hang up that the NBA might have here, or it's not necessarily a problem for the league, but a problem for people who are more general fans who just turn on the TV and watch the game and aren't live, you know, on Twitter throughout like we are, is that, to me, I hate, whether it's the NBA, which has started to do it more regularly and kind of got the idea from the NFL, when they go split screen during live action to bring in some old yammering guy like, oh, I used to be a ref or I know about officiating to explain the call, I hate that. I absolutely 100% hate that. I don't need that as a part of my game watching experience. But if the NBA's official's Twitter account is going to explain it to us on Twitter, then they can do that and get rid of the yammering moron that's taking up half the screen while the live game is going on. So that's a problem for people who aren't on Twitter while the game is happening, most notably older people. But I'm sorry, this is a league who's trying to get a younger fan base, build a younger fan base, and younger people are on Twitter while watching the game. So if they want, like, why not take the Twitter account from the NBA officials, and when they have those in-game updates and explanations, just put it across the score ticker on the bottom of the screen. That way you don't have to go split screen on some guy who's like, most often, like, do you ever actually learn anything from those yammering morons? Well, here's my opinion of the call that was just made. I don't care about your opinion. Are you working this game right now? Are you currently employed by the NBA officials? No. So I love this idea that they did. They need to take it further.
I agree. I think there's a way that they can implement it on the TV screen where it, either in a rolling ticker at the bottom of the screen or even go split screen and just bring up the tweet for 10, 15 seconds. Hey, I won't knock Steve Javi too much. That was the official that you were talking about coming on screen. The guy officiated in the NBA from 1986 to 2011. 1,264 regular season games, 194 playoff games, and 18 NBA Finals games as a referee in that era.
Yeah, and I don't need his ugly mug taking up half my screen while the game's going on. No disrespect to the guy. Great, long, storied NBA officiating career. Get the hell off my TV screen. Don't want to see you. Don't care.
Oh, man. It's kind of like when the NFL decides to do that, too, and I'm like, dude, really?
That's what I'm saying. It's obnoxious. Who are you? Why should I care? In Steve Javi's case, yeah, I get it. And, you know, whether whoever it is, like Mike Florio or whoever the NFL guys that they bring in. It's just the fact that I hate the split screen. There is a live game going on. You're going to take up half the screen to show me this old guy?
I can't argue.
Get out of here with that. Get out of here with that nonsense. So, you know, that is cool. I like what I think you know, I both agree here that we'd like what the NBA Twitter account did with these officials and in-game decisions and reactions. I think we can see more of it, and we can use that instead of the split screen. Real quick before we move on, Jordan, sweep happening in game four, or does LeBron find enough in him to push this back to Oakland?
Nah, I think this is going to be a sweep. I think I said that at the beginning of the series before we even started. I said I just don't understand how the Warriors could lose a game to this Cavs team. Granted, the Cavs have put up a good fight in two out of the three of these games and had a legit opportunity to win in game one and game three. I just don't think there's much left in the tank for LeBron to be able to do. Like, what else can he do in order to win a game? What else can he do?
I mean, he put up 51 and they lost. He had another, you know, another good game in game two and they lost. They got blown out. In game three, not only did LeBron have 33, 11, and 10, Kevin Love had another good game with 20 and 13. JR actually showed up to give him 13. And hey, remember when I talked to you about game two about how Ty Lue should give Rodney Hood a chance because Jordan Clarkson is awful? Look what happened. Rodney Hood got 26 minutes off the bench, put up 15 points, grabbed 6 rebounds, also made some big defensive plays. All of that happened, and they still lost. And they still lost on a night when Steph and Klay collectively did next to nothing.
I think Rodney Hood, there wasn't much trust from LeBron James and Rodney Hood, especially even though he went like 4 for 5 at the beginning in the first half, and then he ended up finishing 7 for 11. But especially in that fourth quarter, I think the guys that were broadcasting the game had even brought up the point that like LeBron needs to go to Rodney Hood more because he was knocking down shots and because there was some mismatches on smaller guys when they were switching off of Rodney Hood and he could create his own shot. And he saw that last night, but I just think there was no trust level in LeBron. LeBron said, you know, I'm going to go down and try to make these shots and not rely on guys like Rodney Hood to knock down shots. I'd rather rely on myself. And you know what? I can't blame LeBron for doing that either. And J.R. Smith, yeah, he had a good first half, but he disappeared in the second half. He finished with 5 for 14, 3 for 10 from the field, and only 13 points. So he kind of disappeared, and the Warriors found a way to smother both of those guys and smother LeBron James as well. And JaVale McGee, too, starting in this game again, I thought did a really good job for the Warriors in the minutes that he did play. So, yeah, I'm going with a sweep, man.
Yeah, I think so, too. I think LeBron is ready to be done. I think so, too. And like, unless LeBron, like, I don't think he's going to come into game four and just fold. I don't think he's just going to lay down and let the Warriors roll over him. He's going to try to keep this a game, and we'll see what it's like at halftime. But not only does LeBron need to have another LeBron game, unless the role players, one, at least one, maybe two, like have an explosion game to give him some support, I don't see Steph and Klay having the same poor shooting nights that they had in game three. Durant is still going to be Durant. He looked like the best player in the series last night. And Yeah, I mean, I would be surprised if the Cavs find a way to win. I mean, the other possibility here is that the Warriors just come out and say, yeah, let's take this back home so we can celebrate at home. Like, essentially, if they just let the Cavs win a game, that's the only outcome where I see this going to game five.
Honestly, though, if I'm the Warriors, I would feel like it's sweeter to win on the Cavs floor, especially in a sweep against LeBron. Also, too.
And that's what we've heard. We've heard that the Warriors really want to sweep them this year. There was a I can't remember which player, but they basically said, like, we want to sweep LeBron out of Cleveland was the same.
And I think that's the biggest point there, too, is LeBron's not going to fold in game four because the conversation turns after if the Warriors do sweep them, two finals sweeps by LeBron James, that's going to put a little bit of a dent in some of the conversation talk of greatest of all time. And I refuse to do that on this show, so we're not even going to do that. But that's just the thing. LeBron's could potentially be swept in two finals. Granted, both the teams that, you know, in the first sweep that he had was a terrible team, and this is arguably the worst team that he
has.
And
that 07 Spurs team was real damn
good. That's true, too. Well, we got to take a short break here, but when we come back, we have a few Bulls notes for you as we wrap up on this Thursday show. So stay right with us here at Locked On Bulls. Be back in 60 seconds.
All right, welcome back into Locked On Bulls. Matt Peck and Jordan Malley hanging out with you on Thursday. And we got a little piece of Bulls news, Jordan, that is likely to upset all kinds of Bulls fans. But unfortunately, we have to talk about it because we got to talk about it.
What
so,
is it?
So this was a column that was put out by ESPN / Draft Express earlier today about the NBA Global Camp that happened in Treviso, Italy, earlier this week. 81 players from 38 different countries, ranging from 15 to 23 years of age. So basically an NBA combine for international NBA prospective talents. And this is a little detail that was in this column talking about this international NBA combine that just happened. Of 30 NBA teams, 29 sent representatives to scout the global event, with only the, guess who, Chicago Bulls refusing to participate. And here's the kicker. Because of their unwillingness to pay the $10,000 fee the league charged teams to subsidize expenses, according to camp officials. So the Bulls took a pass on looking at 81 international prospective NBA players when all 29 other teams in the league thought that this was a thing that was worth paying 10 grand to go to look at all these international prospective talents. And Jerry Reinsdorf said, 10 grand? Nah, too rich for my blood. We can take a pass on all of those potential NBA players that are doing this NBA combine together overseas. 10 grand. And the Bulls were the only team in the league to say, eh, no thanks. What the hell? What the hell? What the hell is that?
That is so damn classic. So I have a couple questions, too, and maybe somebody that's more of an insider, maybe somebody can clear some of this up for us, but that immediately pisses me off. You want to talk about selling a draft pick in the second round for $3.5 million? And you want to be as cheap as not sending a scout over $10,000? Like, I get it. If you aren't interested in any of the international prospects out there, fine, that's one thing. But it's only $10,000 to a organization that is worth billions. Billions. Jerry Reinsdorf has two organizations, too. So I want some explanation as to why they wouldn't send a guy over there. Is it because of the money? Which I would be... I'm lost for words if it is the money. The one question I asked you off air, though, is, isn't it true, though, that do they feel like that they did enough of their international scouting this year by sending Gar Forman on those long trips over to Europe, watching a bunch of different prospects? And I also asked you, too, the longtime international scout for the Bulls, Ivaka Dukin, which we've talked about a couple times over the course of the last few weeks. I thought he was overseas watching all of these players, but I might be wrong on this one. He was assigned as the special assistant to the general manager, which is Gar Foreman, in 2013, but he's still the director of international scouting for the Bulls. So that is the one thing that I'm confused on. Is it because they've already felt like they've done enough scouting over there overseas to not need to participate in this? Is it because they have no interest in any international players in this draft coming up? Like, what is the reason? Or is it just because you're that cheap that you don't want to send, you don't want to pay $10,000 to at least go take a look and send one person out there to take a look at any of these prospects? We need an explanation from this, because this is ridiculous.
Yeah, and I'm going to ask around today to some of the people that probably know a little bit more than I do. We're talking to Casey Johnson for tomorrow's show, so I'll certainly ask him about that. He might have some insight, because that dude's been covering this team and the ownership group and knows the ownership group well, and the ownership group trusts Casey as one of the more consistent, reliable members of Bulls media dating back to the dynasty years. Maybe Casey knows a little bit of something about this that we don't, because to me, this is more egregious than selling your second-round pick for $3.5 million. And I don't even want to talk about Jordan Bell right now. I do not want to talk about it. You know how I feel. Get over it. Get over it, Bulls fans. But the Bulls got the maximum amount of cash dollars from Golden State in that trade. 3.5 is the max. And they basically just used it to wipe away the back end of the Rondo deal. So it did serve a purpose. You can absolutely be frustrated that they gave away another second-round draft pick. I'm mad about that, too. But that $3.5 million served a purpose. Not coughing up 10 grand? How much money is this Bulls organization worth? And you don't want to pay 10 grand to go look at 81 international talents. To me, that is much more unforgivable and inexcusable than the 2017 second-round NBA draft pick debacle. Much worse. A smaller scale of money, but it just looks so much worse.
Yeah, I don't know if there's any real explanation that this organization can give me for not paying the $10,000 just to go at least send one person there. They better have a pretty damn good excuse for why that they wouldn't want to send one of their representatives over and be the only team who didn't do that in the NBA. Okay, it would make a little more sense if maybe two or three or four other teams decided not to go over there, but the Bulls are the only ones. And the fact that you're...
Yeah, like, what does that tell you? What does that tell you, that the Bulls were the only team of 30 in the league to say that that wasn't worth it?
The fact that you're in a rebuild, too. You just came out of year one in a rebuild. And you mean to tell me that you're not going to go at least take a look at these prospects for $10,000? 81 players? Like, come on.
I tell you what, right now, Jerry Krause is rolling over in his grave.
It's absolutely unbelievable.
The dude who brought Tony Kukoc, one of the best and most skilled and most important international players to the NBA in the early years of NBA scouts seeing potential in international players. Tony Kukoc was a perennial sixth man of the year candidate. Actually started a lot of games for the Bulls, including deep playoff runs. Jerry Krause would be spinning over in his grave if he knew about this. I mean, it's just inexcusably stupid.
And it's not like the Bulls don't draft international talent, especially with this front office. Like,
I mean, hello, Nico.
Paul Zipser, who were high on.
Did you just call him Paul Zipser?
Paul Zipser, who were high on. Talking about being really high on some of these guys. Like,
Paul Zipser,
even
who were
Cameron
high
Bearstow
on.
Was from overseas, like... At that time, like, I know he played at New Mexico too, but still, like, it just blows my mind that if this is just about $10,000 and not wanting to spend the money and send somebody, I can't back them on this. I hope if this is true, and the one reason, which we probably won't get really the truth from them, but still, if this is the one reason just because of $10,000, I hope Bulls Twitter and everybody just absolutely ruins them, because what are you doing? You're turning into year two of a rebuild where you're trying to add as many assets as possible, and how could you just leave out the international pool as something that, we're not interested this year. That is absolutely ridiculous. And being the only team that does that after you sold your pick for cash, Like, it's just unexcusable.
This is just another example of the Bulls for, okay, and like, this is something that I want to clarify here, because a lot of Bulls fans will see this and say, oh, gosh darn it, Gar Pax, you've done it to us again. You're ruining this team. This is not a Gar Pax decision. This is an ownership decision. Jerry Reinsdorf, we all know, and we have known for a long time, even in the dynasty years, the Bulls are Jerry's unloved middle child compared to the Chicago White Sox. And they are enduring a rebuild of their own right now. And where is Jerry's focus? The guy can't split his focus. He's too old to split his focus. And I mean, I'm sorry, but what have we seen from Michael Reinsdorf as he has seized more power from his father? What positive signs and positive things have we seen from Michael Reinsdorf? You can rag on Gar Pax for bad trades, poor draft picks that turn out to be busts, but this not spending 10 grand to go look at 81 international scouts? I mean, what is the likelihood that Pax and Foreman collectively said, no, we don't want to do that? To me, this just screams Jerry Reinsdorf. And I am just so fed up. I am like, he needs to sell this team. He doesn't want to. He won't. But for all the screaming Bulls fans do about Gar Foreman and John Paxson, I am getting so freaking sick of Jerry Reinsdorf.
Yeah, and I would say I don't even know if it's Jerry Reinsdorf. Is it Michael, too? Because what we've heard is pretty much everything's been handed over to Michael as far as the Bulls operations go. And I don't know. I have no excuse, and maybe we'll find out a little bit more information when you talk to Casey tomorrow.
Like you said, like there has to be something else behind this. Like, what is the reasoning for this decision if you are the only team in the league to think that it's not worth it to go do that? It's just, it's absurd. Like, there has to be some underlying meaning and some explanation that we don't have right now.
It's absolutely asinine.
Because if it is just, we didn't want to spend the 10 grand and pay that fee to the league because we didn't think it was worth it, that is asinine.
$10,000 is made up in, what, 15 minutes of fans being allowed into the United Center? $10,000?
Easily. Easily.
I mean,
easily.
They make $10,000 every hour selling Lauri Markkanen jerseys, or still making capital off of Michael Jordan jerseys still to this day. So there better be a good explanation, because as a Bulls fan, and anybody out there listening right now, that's what had me my blood boiling, especially after what they did last summer with the second round pick.
Ooh, here we go. Okay, I got an idea, Jordan. We all know how I feel about that FireGuard Pax billboard that was GoFundMe funded that happened last year.
Are you jumping on board?
No, I'm not jumping on board that. That was a waste of money. Here's what we do. We start a new GoFundMe and set the goal at 10 grand. And then we get a billboard. Well, I guess it might be it'll have to be more than 10 grand. It'll have to be like, I don't know, 10 grand plus the cost of a billboard. And then we can put a billboard up across the UC that says, like, hey, Reinsdorf family, we all collectively raised this 10 grand together. Here, use it to go scout some international talent, you stupid Fs. That is a billboard I can get behind. If Bulls fans collectively were like, really? You can't spend 10 grand to go scout some players? Here's 10 grand, Jerry Reinsdorf.
I'm in.
Jesus.
I'm in on that if we get a legit explanation and it turns out that they just didn't want to spend the $10,000. I am totally down, and I feel like a lot of our listeners, even if it's $5, if it's $10, if it's $20, to get to that 10,000 goal, I think would be pretty damn easy.
Like, how hilarious would that be if a collection of Bulls fans just wire transferred 10 grand to Jerry Reinsdorf to be like, here, you need 10 grand to go scout some players? Here's 10 grand.
It's just absolutely unbelievable. All right, we've got one voicemail to finish up. This includes Michael Porter Jr. as well. So,
congratulations. You played yourself.
Hey, this is Matt calling in. It's another Matt. Just kind of calling in for the draft. And I think both of you are both sleeping on Michael Porter Jr. I think you're both worried about his back concerns, which obviously if it's going to be a reoccurring issue, that's someone you don't want to draft. That's something you can't draft. But you look at him, the only team he's allowed to do a physical on is the Bulls. Here's a kid who wants to play for Chicago, who, if you listen to his interviews, who seems like he loves the game, who's a unique generational talent, who before the season started, everyone was saying lose every quarter for this guy, lose every quarter for Porter. And I'm wondering if all these teams are going to pass on him because they haven't seen the medicals, the physicals. If he can't pass them, is he going to be available there at 7? You know, I feel like player comparisons do a disservice to players. It's foolish to compare them. Everyone's unique in their own right. And, you know, these players in this draft, and that even if Michael Porter Jr. doesn't fall to 7, I feel like there's unique talent in this draft that can help round out this team to make it more complete, which thank goodness we have Lowry Marketing, because at least we have a couple pieces on this team that we can look forward to in the future. It would be looking really bleak right now if we didn't at least have one cornerstone, you know, that we could look at for moving forward and be secure with. But yeah, enjoy the show. Keep up the good work. And I'll be listening.
All right, so thanks for the call. Before we answer any of that, just want to bring up the news that we got yesterday that came out from St. Louis. So this was a note from KMOX in St. Louis after an interview with Michael Porter's father. This comes from a report that says, a quick note on Michael Porter Jr. In the KMOX interview, Porter Sr. said his oldest son has not yet released his medical information to NBA teams, but underwent a physical by the Chicago Bulls medical team last Thursday. He'll host a pro day this Friday in Chicago that's open to any NBA team that's interested in watching him work out. The following week, the teams drafting in the top 10 will have another day to see him up close and inspect his surgically repaired back. The Porters will share the Bulls medical report with every other NBA team, Porter Sr. said. The Bulls have the 7th overall pick. So the medical information is going to be released tomorrow when they do his pro day. And he's going to have an open pro day in Chicago here for any NBA teams to find out. I think is it a little bit curious to you that he picked the Chicago Bulls as the ones to do his physical and to have his medical reports before any other team?
No. I mean, it's kind of curious the way that this report came out that we didn't learn about it outside of his dad going on a radio station interview. Am I surprised that if he were only to do a physical with one specific NBA team and then release that information after the fact to the rest of the league, I'm not at all surprised that it's the Bulls. Because I think, regardless of how the Bulls feel about Michael Porter Jr., Michael Porter Jr. really wants to play for the Bulls. I mean, he's also talked about thinking that he is worthy of being the number one overall pick in this draft, and he certainly wouldn't be disappointed if that happens, because it also means more money for him and his rookie contract. But he moved to Chicago after his one-and-done season at Mizzou. His agency, Priority Sports, is largely based in Chicago and represents other current and former Bulls, including Bobby Portis at the moment. He's hanging out at North Avenue Beach on the weekends. Like, I think Michael Porter Jr. really wants to play for the Bulls. And so the fact that he and his family collectively made the decision to let the Bulls team doctors give him this physical, and that is the only physical that he will do, and then he will say, all right, once we do this with Chicago, then we'll share this information with the rest of the league. It's not surprising to me, because I think it's just another piece of evidence that MPJ really wants to play in Chicago.
I also want to note, too, the caller had mentioned whether or not teams are going to pass on him because of the medicals. Well, they're going to be able to have a chance to see his medicals and his physical, and also send representatives in the lottery, so anybody between 1 and 10 will be able to go and look at his surgically repaired back next week. So in that fact, I think every team is going to have as much information as they could possibly have, same with the Bulls, on Michael Porter Jr.'s medicals, and also being able to see him twice. They can see him tomorrow in his workout, his open NBA workout in Chicago, and then he's also going to hold one next week. So I think in terms of everybody in the lottery, they're all going to have as much information as they need in order to make a decision on whether or not they want to pass on this guy. If everything checks out and the physicals check out and there isn't any little hiccups, we could be talking about Michael Porter being back in play for Dallas or for any of these other teams that are ahead of the Bulls right now. So I think you're right, though, in the fact that Michael Porter Jr. is somebody who wants to play in Chicago. And we've said that even when he was playing at Mizzou, too. It seemed like it all made sense. And His connection with the agency here in Chicago and him moving here, also only playing at Mizzou for a year and being close with some of these guys, it just kind of all adds up to what Michael Porter wants. Not necessarily saying that's what's going to happen, but intriguing, and I'm interested to see what the physical says and what these medicals say if and when they do get released to the public and we get to see actually if he is 100% healthy and if he is in the shape that we think he's going to be coming into the NBA draft.
Yeah, and just another quick note for Bulls fans out there who might want to learn more about what's going on with MPJ. He is hosting a pro day in Chicago tomorrow. That's Friday. That's open to any NBA team that's interested in watching him do his workout. So it will be in Chicago, but it's open to any NBA teams that want to come take a look at him. And then after that workout, it says the same note from that report from the St. Louis source that all of those teams will have a chance to see him up close and inspect his surgically repaired back, which is a weird phrase. I just like, I read that and I picture them like poking and prodding him with sticks, inspecting his surgically repaired back. But so it'll be interesting to see if there is some media access there at his pro day in Chicago tomorrow, if it is asked of him, hey, like, what's the deal with the fact that the Bulls are the team that gave you your physical and then you're sharing that with everybody else? And how is it that the only people that knew about this were your father deciding to share this information on a radio interview in St. Louis? Like, why wasn't this commonly known information? Why did we all just learn about this yesterday, that that was the procedure for how your medicals were being released to everybody coming into this draft? So that pro day will happen for him in Chicago tomorrow, and we might learn more about this if the media gets a chance to talk to him.
So very, very interesting stuff about Michael Porter Jr. Just one other quick note before we get out of here. I was listening to Nick Friedell on ESPN 1000 yesterday. He was going through all the Bulls stuff and talking about this weird free agency stuff, and also talking about who he thinks the Bulls should take at number 7. And he hit it right on the head. He said, you know, Mikal Bridges is really great and I think would be a great pick at number 7. And he also said Wendell Carter Jr. as well. He said the two risks, which we talked about too, in Trae Young and Michael Porter Jr., he doesn't believe the way the history has written out, and we've talked about it before too, and the overall risk of Michael Porter Jr. and Trae Young might put either Gar Foreman or John Paxson or both guys in a situation where this might be the final straw and they have to shake things up. Not only those two guys, but Fred Hoiberg as well. So you got to keep that in mind when the Bulls make a selection here at number 7 too. It's not just necessarily about whether or not they want to try and go for the home run. You have to think about the history of this front office and how frustrated everybody out there that's listening right now and fed up with this front office. It's been a storyline for what, five years now? And if they swing and miss on Trae Young or Michael Porter Jr., things could get bad for them. And they also think about their job security as well. It's easier said than done to just say, you know what, go and hit the home run and let's push all the chips into the middle of the table. For a guy sitting there making that decision and knowing that this might be, if this doesn't turn out, this might be the last selection that they make, is a pretty big decision for both John Paxson and Gar Foreman.
Oh, my sweet, sweet Jordan. What have I told you on this podcast time and again?
I'm just telling you what Nick Friedell
said. As long as the Reinsdorf family is owning this team and running this team, John Paxson has that job as long as he wants it.
Sure, but a shakeup as far as maybe removing him as vice president of basketball operations and reassigning him somewhere in the organization. Nick Friedell even said that on radio. He said that, or it might be Gar Foreman's job, or it could be Fred Hoiberg's job too. He said, like, if you swing and miss on Michael Porter Jr. or Trae Young, obviously the family connection between Paxson and the Reinsdorf family is pretty deep rooted. So I think in a scenario where he would be removed as a GM and vice president of basketball operations, both of those guys, Paxson probably reassigned maybe, and Gar Foreman might get the axe. But I'm just saying that's another factor that I think we didn't talk about as far as gambling and what it means for the future of this organization.
I hope you're right. I hope Friedell is right. I hope that they don't screw up this draft pick first and foremost. But if they do, I hope that that sentiment is right and that it might actually have some repercussions with the job security of either or both of those individuals.
Well, that's going to about do it here on Locked On Bulls. Remember, we're doing our giveaway for the Dennis Rodman autographed picture. If you want to enter to try and have a chance to win at that, All you have to do is send us a screenshot of your 5-star review on iTunes or any of the podcast platforms that you like to use. Send that screenshot to 331-979-1369. That's our text line. We do accept pictures via text, so you can do it easily on your phone there. Or if you want to email it to us, you can do that as well at lockedonbulls@gmail.com. We'll have the Twitter information up there too this afternoon. Information more about the giveaway and maybe what's involved if you forget or if you need help. Whatever it is, we're going to have it up on Twitter for you. Probably going to go a few days, maybe a week on this giveaway before we announce a winner. So once again, iTunes review takes 30 seconds. Leave us that review, screenshot, and send it to us via email or text. We're live on Dash Radio, dashradio.com, and the Dash Radio app. On the Nothing But Net channel, we're live on Dash Radio every Tuesday, Thursday, and Saturday, 10 a.m. Eastern, 9 a.m. Central Time. Follow us on social media at Jordan C. Malley, at Bulls_Peck, and at Locked On Bulls. Like us on Facebook, facebook.com/LockedOnShyBulls, and subscribe to the show on iTunes, Android, Stitcher, Google Play, Spotify, and anywhere you find podcasts, you will find us. Make sure to check out all of our content at LockedOnBulls.com, too. We've got written content up there as well as all of our podcasts. We got a new facelift on our website as well. It looks fantastic. So if you're looking for written content on top of our podcast, you're going to find it all there at LockedOnBulls.com. 331-979-1369 is our line to text and leave voicemails. If you've got questions, reaction to any of this information we found out about not paying to go watch international players be scouted, if you've got a reaction to any of that we talked about earlier this week as well, leave it for us at 331-979-1369. For Matt Peck, for Jordan Malley, Casey Johnson on the show tomorrow, so get excited for that. We are out of here, Bulls Nation. Have a wonderful day. Be back tomorrow with a fresh episode to lead you into the weekend. For Jordan and Matt, we are out. Deuces.
Locked On Bulls, a show for the most passionate fan base in the NBA. Hosts Jordan Malley and Matt Peck dive into the best Bulls news and stories around the NBA. Locked On Bulls is live on Dash Radio every Tuesday, Thursday, and Saturday, starting at 10 a.m. Eastern, 9 a.m. Central. For more content and to stay up to date, head over to LockedOnBulls.com, part of FanRag Sports.